This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على من بعثه الله رحمة للعالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This evening, inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to be addressing a very dear topic to my heart and a topic that is important to anybody that is married and anybody that is going to get married. And inshallah, that's all of us. Because it is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get married. And especially if you are young, if you're a youth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he addressed the youth. And he said, Ya ma'shar al-shabab, O youthful ones, man istata'a minkum al-ba'a, that whoever has the means to get married, fal yatazawwaj, he should get married. فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءُ. That whoever has the means to get married should get married because it helps maintain or protect the private part and it helps you lower your gaze. And if you don't have the means to get married, then you should fast because fasting is a form of protection from immorality and doing things that are haram. And so it is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get married as soon as we have the means and as soon as we can give the other person the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated that we give to our spouse. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, I want to share some messages from the Quran that contribute to a very happy and a very healthy marriage. Because good marriages, they keep us happier and they keep us healthier. And the quality of your marriage, to a very large extent, will determine the quality of your life. And so it's really important to find yourself happily married. What I've noticed in speaking with many couples over the years is that it really does impact. It impacts on so many levels when you're not in a healthy marriage or a functional marriage. And so it impacts the mental health. You know, people can end up being depressed, very anxious, very uncertain. And so it impacts in the resilience to even feeling better. Because when you're in a good state, when you're good in a good state of mind, then inshallah ta'ala, you feel good. And so it's easier to feel better. But if you're not feeling good mentally, it does impact on your physical health. And so not only is it important for our health, but it's also important for our wealth. Because subhanAllah, there is a study that I came across. And in this study, it spoke about how something like 40-odd% of lost productivity in the workplace is a result of employees coming to work with problems from their home that haven't been resolved. And there's lost productivity, that these workers were not working at their best capacity because they're very stressed out. They're thinking about what's taking place at home. They're thinking about what's going to happen when I return home. So as we can see, marriage will even impact your wealth and it will even impact your productivity. It will also impact your focus. Imagine you are on the road and that you're driving and you've had a very serious fallout with your spouse. Do you think you're going to be one of the best drivers on the road? You're probably going to be thinking, not very focused. You might even end up having an accident. Maybe especially if you have left your home in a state of rage, or maybe you've left your home and you're very, very down and you're crying and things like that. So it can impact you. It can impact you maybe as a surgeon. Maybe you're a doctor. Maybe you're a pilot and you're about to now fly and you've got so many problems. It's not healthy. It's not right. Maybe you're a judge. And how are you going to be the best version of yourself? Maybe you're a teacher and you're about to go and teach some students. How are you going to be the best version as a teacher? So we really need to have the tools and the knowledge about what it takes to be in a very healthy, in a very functional marriage, insha'Allah ta'ala. It also impacts your khushu' in your salah. Can you imagine you say Allahu Akbar and you've had problems in your marriage? Are you really focused on your salah? Are you really focused on your words? Or are you focused on what happened at home and what's going to happen to your relationship or what's going to happen to your children? So as we can see that marriage will impact and the quality of your marriage is going to impact many areas of life. It can even impact your stress levels. And today there's a lot of study that shows that stress has an impact on one's health. And that a lot of the diseases of today, a lot of physical illnesses that are prevalent, and to the extent of even maybe cancer, could be a result of just, you know, lots of chronic stress, you know, just ongoing stress that has not been healed, where there's no healing that has taken place. It's just ongoing stress. You want to be in a very calm state in your life. And this is what's known as physiological calm. You want to be calm. You don't want to be always in a stressful state. You don't want to always be in a fight or flight situation. You're always ready to fight or you're ready to flight. You're ready to run away, you know. But you want to be calm. You want to be calm. You want to be in a state of serenity. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا, that Allah has made your home a place of sakina, of tranquility. And if you can't find tranquility at home, where are you going to find it? So it's really important that we are invested in our relationships, insha'Allah ta'ala. So you want to find yourself in what's known as a parasympathetic state. You want to be in a calm state as opposed to being in a sympathetic state, and that impacts your body. And so not only is being in a healthy marriage good for all of the reasons that we stated previously, but also it's to prevent trauma from taking place. Traumatizing your spouse or traumatizing your children, and then we end up with what's known as generational or ancestral trauma, whereby the trauma is being now passed on to the children, and the children become familiar with this behavior from their parents, and then the cycle begins, all because you did not know how to deal with your emotions, maybe in the marriage, how to deal with your spouse, understanding one another's differences. And so it's really important, if we want to have a healthy future generation, that we understand how to deal with our spouse, how to deal with our own emotions as well. So subhanAllah, tonight insha'Allah, I want to share 7 messages from the Qur'an for a healthy marriage. Let's begin. Number 1, taqwallahi azza wa jal. The first major contributor for a healthy marriage, for a happy marriage, is taqwallah. Taqwallah. And that is that we're always in a state of remembrance of Allah azza wa jal. That we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that must be revered. Because taqwa and the derivatives of taqwa is found in over 250 places throughout the Qur'an. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to have taqwa, just as He instructed those who became before us. وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبَلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. So taqwa Allah, and the reverence of Allah, and being always in a state of piety and remembrance of Allah and fear of Allah and God consciousness, because taqwa is a very comprehensive term. Actually, one of the best definitions that I came across when it comes to taqwa is the is the definition by Ali radiallahu anhu wa arda, whereby he said, "At-taqwa al-khawfu min al-jalil, wal-amalu bil-tanzil, wal-rida bil-qalil, wal-istiadadu li-yawm al-rahil." That taqwa is that you act upon the al-khawfu min al-jalil, and that is that you revere Allah Azza wa Jal. Wal-amalu bil-tanzil is that we act upon the revelation, we act upon the Qur'an. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a walking Qur'an, meaning that whatever the Qur'an instructed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. Whatever the Qur'an prohibited, he would keep away from it. So taqwa Allahi azza wa jal is very, very important for our marriage. And subhanallah, going back to the definition of taqwa by Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, al-khawf min al-jalil, that you revere Allah, wal-amalu bil-tanzil, that you act upon the revelation, wa al-rida bil-qaleel, being content with what you have. Don't always look at what your neighbor has, or what your friend has, or what your cousin has. You need to have content with whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed for you to have. It may be that you might have something that somebody else has, and that may be detrimental to you. That means it may not be in your favor. It may be not in your favor at all. It may end up doing damage to you, or to your dunya, or to your akhirah. And so, taqwa Allahi Azza wa Jal, as we said, Ali radiallahu anhu defined it, is to revere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to act upon the revelation, the Qur'an, and to be content with what little you have, and is to prepare yourself for the day of departure, meaning death. Get ready for death. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also said in the hadith, أَكْثِرُ مِنْ ذِكْرِ هَادِمُ اللَّذَّاتِ. Always remember the destroyer of pleasures, al-maut, death. So, something very interesting that we find in the Qur'an, and that is, in Surah At-Talaq, At-Talaq means divorce. There is a chapter in the Qur'an that talks about some of the rules that are related to divorce. And in this very surah, in a number of places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions this notion or this concept of taqwa. It is as if Allah Azza wa Jal is reminding us about one of the major contributors to avoid going into divorce and protecting ourselves and to fortify ourselves from becoming divorced. And so in one verse, for example, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجَعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, that whoever has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make for him a way out. So if you're going through a difficult time in your life, check yourself. Ask yourself, how is my relationship with Allah? Because if your relationship with Allah has not been good, has not been healthy, if you've been disconnected, what do you think can happen to your connections on earth? They may well end up being disconnected as well. Another verse in Surah At-Talaq, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجَعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا, that whoever fears Allah or has taqwa Allah, he will make for him of his matter ease. So Allah will bring about ease when you have taqwa Allah. So when now you are in a difficult situation, but you always make Allah your priority, he's going to help you to get out of that situation with ease and not through difficulty. So that's very important. It's very important to be connected to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the most important thing is the salah. The most important contributor to taqwa and to a healthy marriage is our salah. And interestingly, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions some verses about the rules related to divorce, talaq. And immediately after we see, Allah Azza wa Jal says, حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, maintain with care the salah. And in particular, the middle prayer. What is the middle prayer? When we look at our five daily prayers, we see that there is Fajr, there is Dhuhr, there is Asr, And then there is Maghrib and Isha. And the middle prayer is the Asr prayer. And there is emphasis on the Asr prayer because that is one of the two hardest prayers of the day and the night. Because it's at Asr time, everybody is winding down from their work and they're very tired. They want to just, you know, pack up. They just want to go home. It's probably the coldest part also of the day. And so they're preparing themselves, you know, to go home. And many people are lazy or find it very difficult to commit to Asr prayer. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man salla al-bardayni dakhala al-jannah." That whoever prays the two prayers that are cold, the cold prayers, al-bardayn, dakhala al-jannah. That means if you adhere and you're consistent in praying these two prayers, then you will enter Jannah. Because if you're praying these two prayers, that means the other prayers are also going to be sound. Because these are the two hard prayers. And they are the Fajr prayer and the Asr prayer. And they are the two coldest parts of the day and the night. The Fajr being the coldest part of the night and the Asr being the coldest part of the day. What's interesting about this prayer, maintaining your prayers, and in particular the middle prayer, that it comes after divorce ayat. So, subhanAllah, again, a clue from Allah Azza wa Jal, that if you're disconnected with Allah Azza wa Jal, you might find yourself disconnected from your spouse. And it's so important, and I cannot emphasize enough from my experience in talking with many, many couples, that salah seems to be one of those things that is missing in a lot of people who end up in very toxic and dysfunctional marriages and even divorce. There is a beautiful saying that should be written with gold. And this is a very beautiful and inspirational quote. The pious people of the past, they would say, repair your relationship or repair your connection with Allah and He will repair your relationship or your connection with the creation. When you repair your relationship with the Creator, you help and you aid and you support in repairing the connection with the people that are around you. That's why it's so important to have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becoming your ally? He becomes your ally. What does it mean, your ally? It means your helper, your supporter. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-A'raf, He says, وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّى الصَّالِحِينَ وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّى الصَّالِحِينَ. That means that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the ally of the righteous. He is the ally of the righteous. That means if you want Allah to be your ally, you need to become from amongst the righteous. You need to become from amongst those who are doing what Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded, who are doing what Allah Azza, and keeping away from what Allah Azza wa Jal has prohibited. And so Allah Azza wa Jal needs to occupy the core of our heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love for Allah belongs in our heart. And also, everything that we love is also in our heart. And so our heart has many, many layers. We love wealth. We love status. We love the opposite gender. We love so many different things, maybe hobbies, interests. And so we also love Allah Azza wa Jal. And they are all in here, in the heart. But what's important is that in the core of our heart, there should be the love for none other than Allah Azza wa Jal. He is our priority. We love Him and we put Him first. And He is in the core of our heart. And a word of warning. If you place anything that your heart loves in the core position other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two things can happen here. Either whatever you place in the core of your heart, you're replacing Allah Azza wa Jal with that thing that you love, that thing may end up becoming your greatest source of pain on this earth. Or number two, you can start causing injustice to everything else that your heart loves. All because you did not make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your priority. So taqwa Allahi Azza wa Jal is very, very important. And we all are pursuing a goodly life. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. That whoever does good deeds, male or female, and they are believers, we will grant them a goodly life. That's the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal. So what's the condition? من عمل صالحا, whoever does good deeds, male or female, and they are believers. Doing good deeds meaning your salah and your zakah and your fasting and your hajj and all of those things that Allah Azza wa Jal has obligated. Very, very important to remember this. Allah will bless you with a good life. Now, we move on to another message from the Quran. And this message is on how to ensure that we find ourselves in a healthy marriage. And that is understanding that the hearts are controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so make sure, as we said in the earlier point, that you make Allah your priority. And subhanallah, there is a very beautiful verse in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجَعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّ. That indeed those who have believed and done good deeds, righteous deeds, الرَّحْمَان, the most merciful, will appoint for them affection. So therefore, the hearts of the people around you, your spouse, your friends, your community, those hearts are controlled by Allah Azza wa Jal. And He can instill love in their hearts towards you, or He can turn their hearts away from you. So it's really, really important to understand the relationship and the connection between you and Allah and the hearts of people towards you or away from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He spoke about the Sahaba, the companions, they had immense love for one another. They had lots of love for each other. And Allah makes mention of this special love in the Quran, whereby He says in Surah Al-Anfal, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ, and He brought their hearts together. Then He says to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. If you were to spend all that is on the earth, you could not have brought their hearts together. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. But it is Allah who brought them together. So therefore, the hearts are controlled by Allah Azza wa Jal once again. And so if we want to be very close to those people we want to be close to, ask yourself, how close are you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Number three, another message from the Quran about how to have a very healthy and a very happy marriage. And that is through mawaddah and rahmah. Through mawaddah and rahmah. Deep love and mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rum, chapter 30, verse 21, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And of His signs is that He created for you from yourselves mates that you may find tranquility in them. And He, meaning Allah, placed between you and your wife, you and your husband, affection, mawaddah wa rahmah, affection or love and mercy. And so subhanallah, when it comes to love, we know in the English language, love is a verb. Meaning if there needs to be love, there needs to be some actions. You need to do something about it. And there are many examples from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that show us how he nurtured love and how he was with the mothers of the believers. So for example, one day Aisha, his wife, came to him and she said, Ya Rasulullah, how is your love towards me? You see, every wife wants reassuring words of love. She wants to hear those words. She wants acknowledgement. She wants to know that she is loved by you. And so Aisha comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she asks him about the love that he has towards her. And he says to her, "Hubbi laki ka'uqtatil habl," that my love towards you is like the knot of a rope, meaning it's very firm, that it's very strong. And it is said that Aisha would come back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask, "How is the knot going?" Meaning, is it still there? Is it still strong? And he would say to her, "Kamahi," it's still as it is. It's still very strong. And so, subhanAllah, it doesn't reduce your manhood to say to your wife, "I love you, I cherish you," or words to that effect. SubhanAllah, this is from Islam. Even if it's a stranger and you love them for the sake of Allah, you would say, "Uhibbuka fillah," I love you for the sake of Allah. And the other person would say, "Ahabbaka alladhi ahbabtani min ajli," may the one you love me for his sake love you. And so subhanAllah, we know of so many different scenarios that show how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cultivated love, okay, with his spouses, with his wives. And we see, for example, one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on an expedition in the desert, and he says to the Sahaba and he says to the companions, "Move on." And he turns to Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha, and he says to her, "Do you want a foot race? I'll race you, ya Aisha." Now, remembering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's over 50 years old and Aisha was young. And so who won the race? Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha, she won the race. She beat the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the race. Many years pass and Aisha puts on some weight, so she becomes a little bit heavier. And he turns to her one day and he says to her, "Do you want to race, Aisha?" She says, "I'll race you, ya Rasulullah." And they have a race. And who wins this time? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says to her, "One for one." He's not trying to be very competitive or, you know, cause any issues with her, but he's fostering the love that should be fostered between a husband and a wife. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw that Aisha was drinking from a drinking vessel, from a cup. And he says to her, "Where were your lips?" And she points to where her lips were on the cup. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he drinks from exactly the same spot to show the love that he had towards her. If she was eating from a bone, he would some meat, he would eat from the same place that she ate from. He's showing the love that he had towards his wife. And many other scenarios that show how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam displayed love towards his wife. Before he used to go to the masjid, he would kiss his wife. And subhanAllah, we see this all in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so when it comes to love, it's important to be communicating. It's important to find out, what is it that your spouse loves? What is it that makes them feel cherished? What is it that makes them feel needed? What is it that makes them feel very happy? It's important that there is that healthy communication, and especially from the beginning of the marriage, especially from the get-go of marriage, where you're learning about each other's expectations, you're learning about each other's needs, you're even learning about each other's boundaries. You know, what is it that will really tick you off? What is it that will make you sad? What is it that will make you mad? So there is that communication from the very get-go of the relationship, insha'Allah ta'ala. So we're talking about mawadda and cultivating love between the husband and the wife. And that is a contributor towards a happy and a long-lasting marriage. We're also talking about rahmah, mercy. It's important to show mercy to the people around you. And those who are most deserving of your mercy are your family members. Family first. Family first. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, and we did not send you or commission you except as a mercy to all of mankind. all of the teachings of Islam are teachings of mercy. They are teachings of mercy. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الرحماءُ يرحمهم الرحمن ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. He said, الرحماء, those who show rahmah, those who show mercy. Okay, the most merciful will show them mercy. Have mercy on those or towards those on earth, and the one above the heavens will show you mercy. So it's really important, if we want to have a healthy marriage, that we remember these two contributors from this very noble verse from Surah Ar-Rum, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Number four, from amongst the messages from the Qur'an that will cultivate and that will lead to a very healthy and a very happy and inshaAllah ta'ala, a very long-lasting marriage, and that is one verse that is really and truly a powerful verse that really encapsulates exactly through a very beautiful analogy what the relationship between the husband and wife looks like. And it pretty much, this one verse or part of the verse summarizes what an ideal marriage looks like. In Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 187, Allah Azza wa Jal says, هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهن. هن mean they, your wives. They, your wives, your wife. They are a garment, libas. Libas means clothing. They are a garment for you. And you, the husband, are a garment, are clothing for them. SubhanAllah. Let's think about this for a moment. What does that mean? Think about your clothes. Let's analyze this. The scholars, they came up with over 10 lessons from these remarkable words by Allah Azza wa Jal about the success and the stability of this marriage that we extract from these few words. Let's go through them. Number one, that subhanAllah, our clothing, they cover us, don't they? And so between the husband and the wife, we should be covering each other's faults. We should be covering each other's blemishes, insecurities, and we don't reveal them. You know, sometimes you have something on your body, could be a rash, it could be a cut, it could be a disease, and you wear something to cover it because you don't want other people to see it. You might get embarrassed. And that is how the relationship between a husband and wife should also be when it comes to that. Not embarrassing them, not showcasing their faults or reporting them to, you know, their parents or their relatives or their friends. This is not correct at all. Number two, you know, when it comes to our clothes, we take pride in our clothes, don't we? We take pride. You know, we look after our clothes, we iron them, we wash them, we perfume them. Okay. Likewise, when it comes to your spouse, you take pride. You take pride in your spouse. Okay. Number three, what do your children do? What do your clothing do for you? Your clothing, they give you warmth. You know, especially during cold times, you know, your clothing, you feel that sense of warmth. Likewise, number four, you make sure that, you know, you are not harsh in the way that, you know, you are not harsh towards your spouse in the same way that you avoid harsh clothing. You know, some clothing, it's very harsh. And so you don't put it on your skin because it's very annoying. So you don't become annoying, you know, towards your spouse. You don't agitate, you know, your spouse. Just in the same way you don't like to wear clothing that may be agitating your skin. So, you know, and subhanAllah, something to remember. Likewise, our speech and our behavior should be fine, should be soft, should be easy. Just like our clothing. We like to wear clothing that is soft, that's comfortable. And that's subhanAllah, we can get that from our clothing. Number five, you know, when it comes to our clothing, it's of different sizes. You know, there are different sizes. And so your dealings with your spouse should reflect each other's size, should reflect each other's preferences, right? So if your spouse, for example, you know, wears large, you know, you can't offer them small just because your preference is small. It doesn't work for them, okay? You give them what is fitting for their type. You can't force your size on them. That's something to remember. It simply won't fit. And this will produce a negative outcome. So remember this, insha'Allah ta'ala. Number six, what can we learn about our clothes? They stick to us. They cling to us, right? They are the closest thing to our body. There's nothing closer to you right now than the clothes that are on your back. And so the relationship between a husband and wife is always close and is intimate. So much so that the Prophet ﷺ, when he passed away with his head on the chest of Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. He was in her lap when he passed away. He was always close to his wives. And so, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, when it comes to our clothing also, your clothing bring you comfort, okay? Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word libas in another ayah. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. When Allah spoke about the night elsewhere in the Qur'an, He said that the night is libas, that it is a covering, that it covers the daytime. And libas meaning, what we know about the nighttime is that it brings you comfort. It brings you comfort. So it's very important that we bring comfort to our spouse. Likewise, your garments, what do they do? This is the eighth lesson. Your garments, they beautify you. They make you look beautiful, right? So you ensure that your spouse looks good in front of others. Again, you know, you don't badmouth. You know, you don't speak ill of them. They make you, your clothing, number nine, they make you feel secure. And they protect you from certain conditions. You know, certain clothing, they protect you from certain weather conditions. And likewise, we protect our spouse from any harm. And number 10, you know, that you always ensure that your clothes, your garments, they smell nice. So likewise, you ensure that you beautify yourself for your spouse. Okay? And it works both ways. You know, as Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. That women, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ, that they have the same rights just as they have, just as, you know, as they have, we have rights over them, they have rights over us. Very important. One of the companions, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu wa arda, he would put eyeliner, he would beautify himself for his wife. And then he was asked, why do you beautify yourself for your wife? And then he recited this verse. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that they possess rights similar to those that are held over them, بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, in accordance with the customs and the traditions of a people. We'll move on to number five from amongst the messages from the Qur'an, insha'Allah ta'ala, to help us have healthy marriages, and that is to understand and to respect that males and females are different. Yes, very important message from the Qur'an. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3 from the Qur'an, verse 36, He says, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. Three words. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And the male is not like the female. And subhanAllah, the more we can understand this verse, the less problems we can have in our marriage. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us differently. You know, we're physiologically different, biologically different, neurologically different. We're different in our preferences, in our perceptions. In so many ways, we are different. And we need to work with each other's differences. And so these differences, they exist so that we can complete each other and not be competing against one another. Very important to remember this. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. Because it's not, it's a difference of roles. We have different roles, okay? And so we need to remember that. We need to always remember our differences. We need to remember the way that we do things as males is not, it doesn't mean that the female needs to do it that way and vice versa. So we need to really be in tune with each other's preferences and how we differ with our hormones, how we differ, you know, in so many ways, subhanAllah. And this is a topic in and of itself. So much so that there are books now that have been written about gender differences. You know, many years, you know, hundreds of years later after this verse, which now really go into the detail of what it means for a male and a female to be different and their preferences and why they do or why a female does what she does and a male does what he does, subhanAllah, and how if we don't work with this and we don't have an understanding, this can lead to, yani subhanAllah, much toxicity and lead to a dysfunctional marriage. Number six, from amongst the messages from the Quran, is to be always sincere, always be sincere in trying to resolve your disputes. Whenever you try and resolve a dispute with your spouse, husband or wife, make sure it's coming from a place of ikhlas, from a place of sincerity. In Surah An-Nisa, the fourth chapter of the Quran, verse 35, Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِن يُرِيدَا إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. That if they both desire reconciliation, that means if you're sincere and you really want to reconcile and you're putting in your absolute يعني best, Allah will cause it between them. Means Allah will make it happen. But both of you, the husband and the wife, need to be sincere and be giving it your best shot. Elsewhere in the Quran, in Surah Fussilat, the 41st chapter of the Quran, verse 34, Allah Azza wa Jal says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. He says, repel the evil or the bad deed with a better one. Repel the bad with better. And when you do that, Allah Azza wa Jal says, and thereupon, the one whom between you and him there's enmity, you will become as devoted friends. Listen to this powerful verse. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. That means, again, repel, there's something bad, and you've had a fallout with your wife or your husband. So instead of, you know, pouring fuel over the fire, okay, what do? You take out the extinguisher. You don't go getting the fuel and the petrol or the gas or whatever it is, and you go adding to it. No, you want to repel the bad with better. You know, because what happens, subhanAllah, the fire, how does it start off? It starts off as a spark. It starts off as a very tiny flame. And you got to make sure that you turn it out before it gets out of hand. Because once it gets out of hand, it's very hard to contain and it can be very, very destructive. Right? So what we need to do, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Use the best strategies that you possibly can. Maybe phone a sheikh, phone a counselor, phone someone, talk to someone to help you overcome the situation. That's using ahsan. And if you do that with sincerity and you give it your absolute best and you go out of your way, you will find yourself becoming very, very close friends, even with an enemy, according to this verse. You know what the scholars said about this verse? They said that if you're not reconnecting with someone, it's most likely because you're not applying ahsan. You're not giving it your best shot. You're not really, you know, getting in there and you really are trying your absolute level best to make it happen. So again, be sincere in trying to resolve your disputes. Put your pride aside, put your egos aside, okay? You know, think long term. Think about the children. Think about the partner you're about to lose because of a moment's rage, a moment's anger. That's all it is. It's a moment. SubhanAllah. And that's why in Islam, if you divorce your spouse, you divorce your wife, and you are in a state of rage, utter rage and anger, then that divorce is not counted. Because it paralyzes your brain. It makes you do things that you wouldn't normally do. We'll go on to number 7. And this is another message from the Quran to help you and your marriage and your family. And that is, if you must abandon your spouse, meaning you want time out from your spouse, if you must abandon them, you need time out, then this should only be in the bedroom, in the bed itself, you know, not having intimate relations, and not outside of the bedroom. Meaning, don't go sleep in another room or in the garage or in the car or at your parents' house. What's the evidence for this? Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah An-Nisa, in the chapter 4, verse 34, He says, وَالَّاتِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ فَعِظُهُنَّ وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. But those, meaning the wives, from whom you fear arrogance, first advise them. There's a sequence of how to fix the problem, how the repair takes place. The first thing is advise them. Give them nasiha, give them advice. Then if they persist, then forsake them in the bed. وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. Your madja is your bed. So you forsake them in the bed, not outside of the bedroom. Why shouldn't the problems leave the bedroom? Because who's going to see the problems when they leave the bedroom? The kids, the children. The children will see them. And if they leave the bedroom, not only the children, sometimes many people are leaving the house. And then other people are finding out. And then the shaitan is playing their part. Then there's the whisperings. Then there's all these people who are giving advice that may not be the right advice. Okay? They might start to become partial, you know, because that's their best friend. I want to tell them what they think they should do. So in this case, if there is a marital problem, then you should seek the counsel of people who have knowledge and experience. Okay, knowledge and experience. And if you cannot find anyone with knowledge and experience, then you get a senior member from your family and a senior member from your family. From each family, you get what's known as arbitrators. Two people, two senior uncles, grandfathers, that will come and sit down and they will discuss the issue peacefully, with love, with justice, because that's what we're always trying to uphold, justice. So this is something to also remember, insha'Allah ta'ala, when it comes to the marital problems and staying within the family home and not to be leaving your bedroom to another room, to another place, and to be trying to resolve it internally. Finally, insha'Allah ta'ala, I encourage to always make dua for your marriage. Whenever you do make dua, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless your marriage. Because it's such an important union. It's such an important relationship. And Allah has praised those who make dua for their marriage. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Those who say, رَبَّنَا, our Lord, our Rabb, هَبْ لَنَا, bestow upon us, مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا, from our spouse, وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا, from our offspring, our generation to come, that which will be the قُرَّةُ أَعْيُن, be the apple of our eyes. So that when you look at your spouse, you say, Alhamdulillah. You feel grateful. You feel very fortunate that Allah has blessed you with a good spouse. And so, one of the best dua to also be saying every morning and every evening to protect your marriage is found in the morning and evening supplications of Hisnul Muslim. And that is the dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi al-dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah في ديني ودنياي وأهلي ومالي. اللهم استر عوراتي وآمن روعاتي. اللهم احفظني من بين يدي ومن خلفي وعن يميني وعن شمالي ومن فوقي، وأعوذ بعظمتك أن أغتال من تحتي. This is a comprehensive dua. And in this dua, you're pretty much asking Allah to bless you and to bless your family and to bless you from all around you and to protect you. And it's found in Fortress of the Muslim. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He will remember you. And if you forget about Allah azza wa jal, then He'll leave you. And subhanallah, when you're left alone without the support of Allah azza wa jal, you become a toy and your marriage becomes a toy for the shaitan. And the shaitan, he loves to see relationships. He loves to see relationships fail. Why? Because when a relationship fails, the children will fail and the work will fail, the community will be weak, and so on and so forth. It has a ripple effect. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our marriages. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our family, to bless our children. That may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always make our family members the delight and the apple of our eyes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us to do what is ahsan, to do what is best for our family and for our future generation. Allahumma ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah.